Pat Moynihan died yesterday from complications after undergoing emergency surgery for a burst appendix. He was 76 years old. Moynihan's political career spanned four administrations, two Democratic and two Republican. He capped his career as a United States Senator, but before that he had served as ambassador to the United Nations as well as ambassador to India. And he is perhaps best known for his ideas regarding U.S. social policy, from welfare reform to Social Security to tax cuts. Pat Moynihan was an iconoclastic and controversial man, a politician and a scholar with a strong intellect and a puckish sense of humor. We'll be speaking with several people who knew the late senator well, and we want to hear from you. What are your memories of Daniel Patrick Moynihan? Call us 800-989-8255. You can send email to totn@npr.org. Joining us now is Stephen Hess, a senior fellow at the Brookings Institution. Welcome to you.
Thank you, Neil.
And you worked with Pat Moynihan in the Nixon White House. We're a long friend of his.
Yes. 36 years we were friends. You know, half of my lifetime there was always Pat. He was incredibly special to me and to my wife.
Also with us is syndicated columnist George Will, and good to speak with you.
Good to talk to you.
And you were friends with Pat Moynihan for 25 years.
Yes, indeed.
Can you tell us some of your personal memories, especially regarding, fascinating, I don't think people knew this too much, his interest in architecture along Pennsylvania Avenue?
Well, he was an offhand remark from a newly inaugurated President Kennedy, who'd come down, at that point, tatty down at the heels, Pennsylvania Avenue. No one lived on it, and there was barely any commerce on it. On his way to the White House after being sworn in at the Capitol, and the president said, this won't do, and he lit a long fuse that burned with Pat for 40 years as he wound up living in an apartment on an entirely refurbished Pennsylvania Avenue, one of the monuments of which is the new Reagan Building, which is part of Pat Moynihan's legacy. And the Moynihan Building includes the Woodrow Wilson Center, a great concentration of scholars in Washington, fittingly enough.
Can I add to that? Because I know it too, and there was something quite remarkable about that. When Arthur Goldberg, who he worked for, who was Secretary of the Labor, was asked by Kennedy to look into this thing, and he turned it over to his young assistant, who was just in his early 30s, and he wrote the report. But when nobody was looking, he added an appendix to the report, and that appendix became the federal rules, the rules for federal architecture. And they live till today. And the last time I saw Pat about 3 weeks ago, he gave me, he was very proud of a beautiful document that had been prepared about the anniversary of those rules that had just been published.
Stephen Hess, tell us a little bit about where he came from. I mean, you, with that accent, the Harvard professor, the intellectual, yet he had a hardscrabble early life.
Yeah, yes, he did. He should have been a middle class fellow. That is, his father had been a journalist, but his father left them. They started in Tulsa, Oklahoma, and the mother had to do all sorts of things, including run a bar. And Pat told stories about how he shined shoes on the street. It was not an easy life. Added to the remarkableness of it is where he came from.
He was shining shoes, actually, on Central Park South when he heard the news of Pearl Harbor. And before the war ended, he was in the Navy.
Here's an email we got from Ed Griffin Nolan in Syracuse, New York. In August of 1985, I was kidnapped along with 28 others from Witness for Peace in Nicaragua by a group of Contra rebels operating in Costa Rica. Back in New York, my worried family contacted everyone they could to get information about my whereabouts and put pressure on the Contras, who were funded by Washington to release us unharmed. Senator Moynihan took my mother's call personally. He assigned an aide to them on a 24-hour basis. He offered his New York office for them to use if need be, and he did everything he could at the State Department to obtain information and pressure for our release. We were released 2 days later. Senator Moynihan's attention to his constituents' plight left a lasting impression, and we will miss him.
I'll tell you another story about Pat in Nicaragua. The Sandinistas had him down there, and he was looking around, and they were going to take him to lunch in a little village square at a restaurant. And they kept suggesting that he have this delicacy or that delicacy, this meat dish or that meat dish. And Pat after each one was suggested, no, I want rice and beans. And they'd say, well, I have this pork. They said, no, I want rice and beans, knowing that that's what the peasants lived on, if they lived on anything at all. About the fifth time, he said, no, I want rice and beans. They said, well, actually, we don't have rice and beans, making his point. The Sandinistas should not have had a man that acute in their midst.
Stephen Hesse, he was a liberal Democrat. How did he end up in the Nixon administration?
He ended up in the Nixon administration as he ended up in a lot of places because he wrote something that really caught Nixon's fancy. It had been passed on to Nixon by Len Garment, who was Nixon's law partner. It was probably very convenient to have a Democrat in that administration. Nixon had tried to do several things, offered the U.N. ambassadorship to Hubert Humphrey and so forth. And Pat accepted for a very simple reason. Pat was a patriot. A president asked him to do something, and by golly, he would do it, and that characterized his life.
George Will, he was oft reviled by liberals for a phrase that was taken out of context, but nevertheless came from his pen, benign neglect.
I think it first came, Stephen, maybe correct me on this, I think it first came from Edmund Burke in another context. Yeah. And what Pat said is about the early 70s, he said there's so much inflammatory rhetoric feeding on itself that race relations could use a period of benign neglect, meaning it could use a period in which we don't assume that race relations are A, getting worse, and B, must be the compulsive, obsessive focus of our national attention. Yeah. I think he was right then, right now, too.
Exactly right.
If you want to join the conversation, by the way, about the late Senator Daniel Patrick Moynihan, give us a call. Our phone number is 800-989-8255, 800-989-TALK. Our email address is totn@npr.org. And joining us now on the line from Capitol Hill is Senator Ted Kennedy. And, Senator, welcome.
Yeah, well, welcome to you. You've had quite a tribute to a very special person.
What is your strongest memory today of Pat Moynihan?
Well, I think it goes back to really the week before President Kennedy left for Dallas. He and Pat Moynihan talked about the restoration of Pennsylvania Avenue, and he worked on that as his own kind of sort of personal tribute, I think, to President Kennedy and to ensure that the nation's thoroughfare was going to be something that we would be worthy of a great nation. I think all of us remember, and I certainly do, the great contributions he made in the areas of public policy and education and health. And then he collaborated with Jackie and on the preservation of Lafayette Park, which has enormous historical significance and architectural significance, and that being right opposite the White House. I mean, people that come there now always are amazed at its beauty and the fact that those townhouses have all been preserved like they were over 100 years ago. That wasn't an accident. That was really Pat Moynihan. So as we remember the wonderful contributions he made in social policy, there are also, he's left his mark on the city and in a way which I think was ennobling to our country and will remind all generations about the importance of preserving the beauty and that architecture is important. And I think that was sort of one of the aspects. The other part was working with him on Northern Ireland. We had a group that worked with Pat Moynihan and Hugh Carey and myself and Tip O'Neill about trying to bring peace to Northern Ireland. So he was a great figure. I've used the line a number of years ago in describing Pat, saying he's this kind of senator our founding fathers thought were going to serve in the United States Senate, and Lord only knows we've had too few.
I remember the first story I ever covered for National Public Radio was Senator Moynihan's, or he was not then senator, he was running against Bella Abzug for the Democratic nomination for the United States Senate. And could you just comment for a moment, Senator Kennedy, about his legacy in the U.S. Senate?
Well, I think it really exemplifies what kind of a an influential member can achieve and accomplish. He wasn't only a legislator, but he was a man of ideas. And so there's some people that make their contribution with ideas and don't legislate. There are others that legislate and really just sort of follow the tracks. He had the capacity for both, and he would be interested in subject matters that others and take time that other matters that others might not. I mean, for example, I've given two examples about the time he spent in terms of the Pennsylvania Avenue Lafayette. That took an enormous amount of time. It wasn't completely in the narrow interest of the people of New York, although I think old New Yorkers who have a great respect for architecture and a love of history and would have appreciated it too. He was multidimensional in this sense, and I think that's a very powerful and forceful reminder. Too often we get obsessed with the nitpicking aspects of legislation. He looked at it in more the broad sweep of history, and I think whether it was in the areas of the war on poverty or Social Security or welfare reform, too.
In a radio reporter's frustration, he would not allow his ideas to be contained within the limits of a soundbite. George Will, I wonder what you think his legacy might be.
Well, you know, one legacy is an intensely practical legislative one. He made it his goal to become a freshman on the Finance Committee. New York City, which at the time he was elected in the mid-70s was a financial basket case, had not had a senator on the committee for a very long time. And Pat, who was, of course, as Senator Kennedy says, a man of ideas, could be intensely practical. And he said, the best thing I can do for New York is to get on the Finance Committee and shape the flow of funds that had been unfavorable to New England in general, and particularly to New York City, to make it better. But, you know, he enriched our vocabulary, defining deviancy down, his idea of how we ratchet down our standards of social behavior will be with us for a very long time indeed.
Stephen Hess, a lifelong friend, let's give you the last word here.
Well, I want to just add on to what Senator Kennedy said. He probably could have told this story, too, because it also involved Pat Moynihan and his brother, the president. And again, a remarkable thing. After all, Pat Moynihan was a very junior official in that administration. But President Kennedy wanted to do something as an honor, as a presidential honor. We don't have a House of Lords, but we needed something. And it was Pat Moynihan who dug up something called the Medal of Freedom, which was designed in World War II, I believe, to give to spies, to give to people who weren't otherwise commissioned in the office. And he changed the name, decided to change the name to the Presidential Medal of Freedom, and President Kennedy signed on to that and was to make these first awards when he got back from Dallas. They were made, of course, by President Johnson posthumously, and included, of course, the late President John F. Kennedy. But the Presidential Medal of Freedom, which wasn't meant for that at all, but it was just a Moynihan invention for this marvelously creative mind, lives with us today. And Pat Moynihan recently got one and was really very proud of it. We had a little party, and he wore it, and it was his medal, and it meant a great deal to him.
Gentlemen, I'm
glad you remembered, because just when you were talking, I recalled that, and and it's been a marvelous tradition, Republicans and Democrats identifying extraordinary individuals in the arts, in medicine, in all aspects of our lives, and giving recognition to people that really are doing something important for our country.
Senator Edward Kennedy of Massachusetts, Stephen Hess, and George Will, thank you all very much. Remembering here Senator Daniel Patrick Moynihan, who died yesterday. I'm Neil Conan. This is Talk of the Nation from NPR News.